three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. NBL Pocket Podcast, 31st of January, 7 o'clock on the East Coast. So that makes it, what, 4 o'clock, Kenyon, over there?
4:08 p.m.
It's like clockwork. Welcome, NBL Pocket Podcast. What are we talking about today? Melbourne United, a bit of Perth, Sydney. We got accused of being, on Twitter, we got accused of being too, you know, one-eyed centric for Perth and Sydney. What can I say? Those teams pay the bills. They're the most popular. Talking about Bogut's comments, no one else is. We may as well do it. Aaron Baines, Southeast Melbourne, Josh Giddey might get a mention. Kenyon, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a hectic day. It's been a hot day in Perth. I've been struggling, but that's all right. Here to talk basketball for a while. We won't keep you too long today. No. We've got a few topics. I've also got to get the hell out of here. I've got things to do tonight. Yeah, so
we've all got things to do. So let's start at the top.
Work down the list and see what we do.
Melbourne United, they're 3-4 in their last 7. Any need for concern on Europe in your mind, Kenyon?
Yes.
Oh, I'm the opposite. Why do you say there's need for concern?
Well, maybe that's a little bit dramatic, but I channeled my internal Damon Lowry there. they'll be fine once they hit playoffs, I think. But I'm slightly concerned that they might be taking the foot off the gas just a little bit too much. And can you rediscover form once you've been playing poorly for a period of time?
I think they're hitting the skids at just the right time. This is when you want your lull. And they'll win their last, what is it, how many games they got left? 3 or 4 or something like that. Or they'll win a good percentage of them. So I have no concern about this team. But the only concern is the same concern that's been there the last couple of seasons. Will Golding see out the finals or playoffs, whatever you want to call it? He's been hurt in the last 2. You know, he's not any younger. And the burden on him, not any smaller. So I have that legitimate concern, but I have no answer to that yet. But no, I've no concern. But you have a slight concern.
Yeah, look, I'm just worried. They seem to have become a bit clunky. When the season started, the ball was zipping around.
Yeah, true.
Lots of cuts off the ball. They're finding easy baskets, getting open looks for Golding and Clark, and that's just dried up a little bit. But so between that and then you've got Dellavedova, whose early season scoring efforts have just totally fizzled out.
He did that last year as well. Or not the last year, but the last year he played, pardon me, yeah.
Yeah, just so he cannot be relied upon. You've got JLA, who was out for a period of time, so they've got to reintegrate him back into the team. But Huck Porty sort of demanding more court time as well. So you've got a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah.
So I worry about how they might make all that work.
Moving to a different team, are you more concerned about Melbourne United or Tasmania, who are 12-12? We had them as an MVP championship favourite. That's an ice cream chuck. Is that over here on your end?
Can you hear that? It's bloody loud.
I'm getting hungry. Yeah, man, that's...
I told you it was a hot day. We got the ice cream trucks.
Mr. Whippy knows which side his bread is buttered. He's getting out there. The flies don't sit on him. He's on the move. More concerned about Melbourne or Tasmania Jack Jumpers? 12-12, they're just so blasé.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great word for it, Joe. Blasé. Yeah. That is an excellent way to describe it. It's like they can never get all their guys
playing
well at once.
For our Tasmanian listeners, that means kind of boring. No, just kidding, guys. You're great.
Come on.
I will say, though, statistics tell us 50% of the Tasmanian population is illiterate. That's not a joke. That's a real statistic. You can look it up.
Wow, but 50% of the Tasmanian population have 2 heads they can put together.
Ah, this is true. Then 2 makes 1. Yeah. When 2 become 1, if you're to believe the Spice Girls. But tell me, Jack Jumpers, concerned? More concerned about them than Melbourne?
Yeah, I am. Because I think Melbourne still have a really deep roster of good players, and they come the playoffs, I would hope that they would figure it out. Tassie just haven't seemed to really play any games where everybody gets going at the same time. It's a bit of dueling banjos between Milton Doyle and
Crawford.
Crawford, thank you. We've got Magne starting to come into a bit of form, but he's still not at a point where I trust him to carry a team in a playoff situation.
Yeah, right.
So I just, you know, Lee is in foul trouble, game in, game out.
Here's my assessment, right? They couldn't trust Magne to be healthy, and now he is healthy. They spent their import spot on Lee, who's a really good player, but now they can't really share the court together. So there's a bit of a logger jam between them. And then they couldn't go out and get that other sort of wing scorer kind of player. Obviously, they've got Doyle and they've got Crawford. He's all right. Crawford's looked very small. Teams are kind of starting to figure him out. But I don't like their ending five. They've got Drimmick on at the end of games. I'm sort of, and then early on in the year, it was McDonald, I want to say. Now they're going with Drimmick, and Roth seems to be in love with that. But they're in games. They're always in games. Then they kind of drop them. So I'm worried about their closing five. I think there's a lot of turmoil as to who that five is. And that's what's costing them games. But maybe I'm oversimplifying things.
No, I don't think so. And I think also, like others have already said, the defense has always been the thing that they hang their hat on.
Yeah,
and that's not quite so good this year. So how does that work out? You know, do they find a way to play defense in the finals? I don't think so. I just think they don't have that in them this year. And I think they lose a lot with Crawford at that point guard position.
Yeah, teams are kind of starting to figure him out. He'll be really keen to watch in the finals. We're now going to move on to Perth. So we've covered off Melbourne and Tasmania, Perth. We're about to do Sydney thereafter. Before I get to Perth, is there anyone else we should be talking about? Do you think there's any contender outside of those four? Or am I wrong in even including Sydney in the conversation?
Oh, well, Sydney's not a contender, so you shouldn't really include them. Okay. Brisbane? Nope.
Nope.
No. New Zealand? Nope. Maybe Illawarra.
God, behave.
Or maybe Adelaide.
They've just left their runs too late. I kind of agree with what you're saying, but the run's too late. They're not going to have home court against the Melbourne or Perth. They're going to be mincemeat, I think. But so you think, so it's Melbourne, Tasmania and Perth are the big contenders. That fourth one, are you saying it's Illawarra or are you saying it's Sydney? I'm saying it's Sydney.
I'm saying it's Illawarra.
Yeah, I just can't look by, I don't know, Sydney. I just think the talent's there. Who'd they beat the other day? Melbourne. They can play. They just hate their head coach.
Yeah.
But there's no other way to put it.
That's the contrast, isn't it? Illawarra. Love their head coach.
Well, they got rid of one, you know.
So,
look. You want to. Once you're a part of a firing, you can't really hate the next guy. So, you know, maybe it's you. It's like the second or third divorce. Maybe it's you, pal.
But let me be real. Mm. Can Illawarra win a championship? No, they can't. They can't do that.
They'll be part of a good series if they make it to the... Oh, well, they go make it to the play-in. But if they get to the four and are in a three-game series with someone, that could be fun.
Do you know, I'm even going to say this, Joe. It's basically Melbourne or Perth. You may as well not even bother with the rest of it.
I'm not going to put a line through Tasmania. They've got a good home court. They've got Milton Doyle, who's second, third best player in the NBL, behind Cotton and Lamb, definitely in the top five. I'm not going to look by him.
Okay.
Not yet. He had mid-season. He's had a lot of off-court turmoil. I'm still a believer in that team. Sydney, I want to ask you this question. Will they drop out of the top six? Just to give you the ladder at the minute and the people at home, the ladder is as follows. Melbourne, Perth, Jack Jumpers, Kings sit in fourth. They've played 25, 12 wins, 13 losses, tied with the Bullets on that same measure. Hawks in sixth, or almost at parity. Like, they're right. Those Bullets and Hawks could easily jump this team. What do you think?
There are so many permutations with this ladder. It's so hard to
predict. It's actually a lot of fun, isn't it?
And like, you know, you're looking at the schedule and trying to figure it out. It's just impossible, and it does my head in. And basically, I'm just going, forget it. I'm just not going to even try and predict a future ladder. I'm just going to sit here and watch the show and watch it shake out. But the question is, do I think they'll get in the final six? Do you think it? That's what you're asking me, right? Sydney?
I'm asking you, are Illawarra and Brisbane going to jump them? That's what has to happen for them to fall out of the six.
Yeah, I don't think so. If anything, I'd say Brisbane might fall away.
The Hawks are making it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd be more inclined to say, you know, somebody like an Adelaide might sneak in somehow.
Ooh.
And
come on. Well, Sydney, just to give people people at home the roster, Sydney are at Adelaide next. Then they're in Illawarra at home, but is that a home game? They just have to come up the street. And then they're at Southeast Melbourne, who they've already lost to. That's the last three games for Sydney. I can't be bothered looking at the roster for the other teams.
That's a pretty easy run home, though, isn't it?
Adelaide in Adelaide is the only real doozy for me. But Illawarra, those first two are the doozies. They'll beat Southeast Melbourne. But Adelaide in Adelaide... Adelaide think they're a sniff. That's going to be a really good game. That's February 2nd.
That's one to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's 5 a.m. That's must-see TV. Time in the US, apparently, whatever that is in Australia. So, in answer to the question, could they? Yes. Will they? Give me a yes or a no.
Sydney out of the top six.
So, you're either thinking Adelaide, Brisbane, or Illawarra are going to, in some combination...
No, they got to. They'll make. No, they'll make they'll it. Stay. They'll stay. No,
I agree. Staying with Sydney because you know we wouldn't want to talk about many other teams. Andrew Bogut comments on Twitter. He. I'm so disappointed in you, Kenyon.
Tweets.
I was so disappointed. You bit. You took the hook, line, and sinker, and you came back to Twitter. Tell the people.
I came back to Twitter for the one tweet appearance, special appearance, to tell Bogut he was being an idiot.
When you think you're out, they reel you back in, pal.
I know, it's frustrating. And then I've logged out again. I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Punch uppercut.
It made me so frustrated and angry, and the double standards in play here just drove me up the wall.
Go on.
Like, the league fined Adam Ford for making some assertions or some opinions in an acerbic way about the way the referees call things, right?
Sarcastic, kind of, oh, the calls were great. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
It was very heavy-handed. You could tell what he was doing. There was no subtlety, but you're right. It was done.
But you know where there was no subtlety? In Andrew Bogut's offensive tweets towards the LGBTIQ plus
I will say it was community. You're right. It was more aimed at the Pride Round idea. I think his rationale would be, I'm taking shots at the Pride Round and the NBL's sort of fake posturing rather than the community itself. But it didn't read that way. It doesn't look that way. And also, it's a stupid rhetoric anyway.
Yeah. And like the NBL, like he may think it's fake posturing, but for them, it was a branded round. Like, you may question their level of commitment, but they did it.
Yeah.
They were pushing it.
Yeah. The chips are on the table.
Yeah. Then
they could have easily just, it would be easier to not have done it in the first place. Yeah. So you're right. Yeah.
You've got that happening. Then you've got, how's that going to, so Isaac Humphries came out last season, right?
Yeah.
So how does it make him feel seeing that?
You'd assume poor.
Secondly, what about the next player that wants to come out?
Oh, he just won't bother.
What, like, you just got Andrew Bogut.
Also, might I add, just maybe reporters who want to come out, or fans who want to come out, or statisticians who want to come out, or coaches who want to come out. But yeah, players.
Yeah,
as well.
It's just, and he's just got to go the easy, low, cheap shot, heart, you know, and hide behind a hearty heart. Isn't that funny? You know, it's just like, oh, you, like, grow up.
What's an appropriate response and or punishment?
Well, there will be none. There has been none.
Are you kidding me? I mean, I do have to not hand it to Bogut, but when you give someone that amount of license, and the basketball community is so bad for it because it's such a thimble little circle jerk of people. When you've got license, you take it. I have a license to drive. What do I do on weekends? I drive my car. Bogut's untouchable. The cucks have no recourse. So my answer is why wouldn't he? You know, if you're not going to get in trouble for it, you know,
yeah,
test the boundaries. And that's the issue. And it's not just the NBL itself. The NBL, I can see why they'd want to shy away from it. Why would they want to reprimand their owners, bring negativity, so on and so forth. But even like the outsiders, the guys who write about the league, nothing.
No, it's
a good story too, but it gets clicks because it's got, if you looked at it, purely stripped it away and took away the basketball element, it's got LGBT, it's got very clickbait potential. You get good reads on it. But, you know, I've seen the reads these guys get, and I can assure you, getting good read numbers is not the objective. So I'm down on it from that standpoint. I think, yeah, as you say, coaxing it behind lame jokes and shitty puns.
Yep.
It's like, oh, It's just pathetic. Anyway, we've spoken about it. I like to think that gives us some cred, with, you know, but not a lot.
Yeah, I just think this. He has so many opportunities. He's got a Bogut has a platform, and he just can't elevate himself above the suburban Bogan. You know,
Yeah. I mean, anyway, we don't endorse it.
No.
And if we had any sway, we'd get our cock and balls out and do something, reprimand him in some way. Moving on, speaking about another big man doing bonehead plays, Aaron Baines. What's this? Are we witnessing? I made a tweet the other day. Alistair Lynch played for the Brisbane Lions, funnily enough, another Brisbane team. And I think in the 04, 06, 07 grand final, went out swinging, got a 10-game suspension just before his retirement, was punching anyone and everyone in the face. And I feel like that's what we're seeing with Baines, but over the course of two seasons, where he's just stepping on the court incensed. Mad. Yeah. My question to you, Canyon, is boneheaded, a reaction to trauma where, oh my God, my career is done, I can't play well anymore, and lashing out, or just got a real dislike for Lat May in particular? Where do you put it?
I think he just seems like, I mean, maybe Lat May has an ability to say a few words at the right time. Who knows? Mm. Who knows? We don't know what happens on the court.
Lat May is seeing a guy who's made $100 million playing basketball, boomers, so on. So he wants to take it. That you, as Aaron Baines is an older guy, you got to realize he's going to want to take some shots off you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you got no problem giving it back, but keep it kind of within the realm of play. He doesn't even try.
Yeah, and what should you care if some young punk says a few things? You just look back and say, hey, man, I played in the NBA. I've got a championship ring. I've made plenty of bank.
Just plenty of bank.
Enjoy your little chat. But no, he seems to me like he's kind of like, you know, those guys, I'm going to go back to the social league situation, you know, and they're a bit past
100%.
It.
I was going
to
do this.
Packed on a few kilos. They have memories of when they were better than what they are now. Yep. And they just get angry about it. There's some young punk taking them. And he's like, 5 years ago, I could have destroyed you.
Yeah.
And now I can't. And I'm just angry at myself. I'm angry at the world. I'm angry at my body. I'm angry. So I'm going to lash
probably
out.
Probably should have ended it after last year. I think this is a tough thing when, you know, everyone around you saying, no. Look, when he came back and signed with Brisbane, people were like, no, the NBA was going to be a springboard back to the NBA for you. People said that shit out loud to his face.
Yeah.
You can't give people that level of false hope, sure. Like, no, things will get better. That's fine, but not that level of BS. And he's bought it. And I just think, you know, maybe like an assistant role or a train. It just the on court. I want to ask you this: the hit on Clark, dirty, inconsequential, accidental. What do you think?
Bit dirty.
I thought it was dirty. Like, I think, it's tough. Like, he's such a big guy; everyone's going to ricochet off him. And Clark kind of was turning and led with the head. It's right on the line, but I think in modern sport, where, you know, the rules have changed. Like, this is not as sports, not as tough as it was. We know about concussions, so you can't just bash guys around. But I think that if you looked at that play and thought, is Aaron Baines trying to stay within the game, but also preserving a fellow colleague's cranium and skull and brain? The answer would be no. I think he actually turned it up into the red of like, I'm laying a hard screen, but I'm also going to make sure that his head collides with my ample forearm and muscle.
Yeah.
And he clocked him. He got him really, really good. And so that's where I put it. I don't know if that makes it dirty or
and
not.
And there's just a pattern of behavior emerging as well. You know, you've got to look at that. I don't think you can look at it in total isolation. Jesse Wagstaff got cited for a screen last season.
And then the Bruce one. What was worth, Baines or Bruce? On Bruce on Dellavedova?
I'll say this.
When Dellavedova, Mr. Country Victoria, grab your balls off the play, so on and so forth. When he draws the line at a play, he could spot dirty through three bags of clean laundry.
I actually think that one was probably dirtier. I think there are smaller dudes, so it doesn't look quite as impactful. But the amount of extra angle that was put on that one, it just felt like. And there'd been niggle in that game too.
Oh, it was tough, yeah.
So there'd been a lot going on through that entire game, and it just seemed like a real, square-up opportunity. And if it'd been me, I wouldn't have liked it.
No. And it was also one of those real, like, you come off, you twist the leg. Like, there was just, the leg was out. It was braced for contact. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, dirty. But definitely, like, with an intent to somewhat injure or hurt and to certainly roughhouse and irritate. For sure. That's Bruce to a T.
What do you think of Sean Bruce?
Oh, he's in the NBL, but his game can be found down at the YMCA. good player, does what's told, good backup, capable. Not taking anything away from him in his career, but shit, would I buy a ticket to see him play? No. It's exactly the stuff you see in a social league. Hits a couple of shots, plays some D. Does that make him a bad player? No, but just not one I'd pay to see. I'll leave it at that.
I think he draws the game down between his constant yapping, and then his edge of the rule book kind of play. I just don't like it. I just think
it's like, where are the highlight plays? He had that one front rim game winner. That was great. More of that. No problems with that sort of play. But then it's like the jump pass with 30 seconds left that goes to the opponent and lost them the game. Like, I'm like, there's more of those than there are the front rim game winners. So I'm just being honest. It just doesn't blow my skirt up, can you?
Don't like it either.
Moving on. Do you want to make a joke about Josh Giddey or just move on?
I think we should just move on.
Okay, I agree. Vasiljevic re-signs in Adelaide for 3 years. This is an interesting one because, again, we're kind of talking about Adelaide in the with the context of Sydney. Hey, they're the three biggest markets, Perth, Melbourne, Sydney. What are you going to do? It's interesting. Remember when they signed Cooks, right? Cooks was hurt. He'd come back from, I want to say, Germany. They went over the cap to sign him, and the Kings cut Kwani, who hasn't actually reappeared in the NBL for some reason. They went into the red, into the salary cap to sign him, basically keep him on the bench, and then it paid dividends a couple of years later. He was an MVP. They win titles.
Yep.
The Vasiljevic thing is very comparable, where he goes over the NBA, goes to Europe, tries that thing, comes back, and for some reason signs in Adelaide. Now, Sydney seemingly had this offseason where they got fed up with waiting on Chet, cut him loose. Huge mistake. Did the same thing happen with Vasiljevic? They came out and said NBL contracts don't give clubs the sort of protection over their players, blah, blah, blah. Is that a coax or a cover-up for we wanted an answer and we were impatient and let him walk? Because that's the type of guy they probably, if they were gutsy, would have probably cut Valentine and brought him back and run with two imports. If you could 2020 vision into the past, do you think that's what they would have done? And what do you think of Vasiljevic?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I wonder, actually, if it's that at all. I wonder if they're quite happy that he kind of moved on.
It couldn't be, could they? Like, he's playing better this season in Adelaide than he's ever played at Sydney.
I just wonder if there was a personality conflict.
Yeah, he seems to fit their MO perfectly. Loves a chat, speaks before he thinks. He's Sydney from
I don't know.
Central to Wollongong.
I just wonder if there was too much of that. Maybe he was trying to upset the pecking order. Maybe he didn't respect the top dog.
I don't know. I think he's just a good player. I'm a big fan of his game, and when he's been playing really well, they've been winning games. It's no surprise to me. He's a good player.
I don't know if he's a good scorer. I still can't decide if he's a good player.
Okay, I like the distinction.
Like he can get on a heater and he can really go off, and his range on the shot is ridiculous. But I still can't quite figure out if he's the sort of guy you'd love to have on your team, or would he annoy you as much as anything?
I think the most annoying player in the league's got to be Mitch Creek. And I really like Mitch Creek's game. He single-handedly won that game against Sydney. None of them could stop him at all.
Yep.
He was just, guys were ricocheting off him. But his kind of psychobabble, mindset, focus, I'd be like, shut up. That sort of bumper sticker advice, I'm like, I'm over it.
I don't mind a bit of mindset and mindfulness and all of that kind of mind over matter stuff. I'm okay with it, but I take exception from taking that advice from Mitch Creek, given his extreme history.
I know. Moving on, but staying with Southeast Melbourne. Do we all owe Simon Mitchell an apology? He potentially had a similar team to this season. They had injuries, similar roster, probably not even as good. And he never let his team sink like a stone, except maybe in the expansion year, the first year he had them. Mike Kelly just has control of teams that just sink like stones. He had Cairns with Machado and Oliver. A few injuries happened. Boom, bottom of the ladder.
Yep.
Even when he was with Perth, with the Scott Morrison associate head coach position, they got on a bit of a winning streak, and then they lost 7 in a row or something at one point. They just, when they stone, they go down hard. My question to you, Kenyon, do we owe Simon Mitchell an apology? Should they have kept him around?
Well, yeah, he certainly could have done equally as well as what they've achieved this year. So they've gained nothing. I still think it was time to move on from Mitchell. I think the voice, people have become tired of the voice.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think they needed a fresh start. But my take on Mike Kelly, so I've got a bit of a theory here.
Is there?
I sort of feel like Mike Kelly is an excellent development coach.
Okay.
I feel like he's good with young guys, good with like skill development, bringing people up a little. I'm not sure he's great at handling the already there players, the stars, basically,
right,
and getting them all on the same page. Like, so watching his interactions with the young guys, once, like, they sucked in that first game, and I feel like he spent some time, put his arm around guys, really encouraged them, and then showed them a lot of love and confidence and trust.
Oh,
and
the
they went through the roof. And you could see him after the game, he's like back slapping and really happy for the young guys. I feel like that's where his skill set lies. And that's where he did well in Cairns. Mm. You know, like in that year when he had Machado and Oliver.
Machado, Oliver, and DJ Newball.
But then he had a whole bunch of pretty young guys, if I recall correctly, on the bench behind it.
Yeah, how do you kind of Mirko Jerick and
a couple of guys who'd been around for a while, but yeah, guys who needed a shot of confidence. That's for
but
sure.
I feel like that's it. But I just don't trust him as a head coach, Kelly.
I have a bit more of a theory. I think there's sort of a secret handshake of sort of guys that just look after each other in that sort of that Melbourne circle of guys that played together at that time. I think that's more at play than anything. We said at the start of the year, like, I look at that resume and I just think, you know, what is this the best candidate? Is this the criteria we're most looking for? Game winning potential? I'm out.
Well, this goes into my question. The questions I had for you, and it was all around head coaches.
Okay.
So it's a good segue. Unfortunately, I will still ask you this question and we'll have the conversation. Unfortunately, I was reading earlier and that bastard Boddy Nodge.
No friend of the show, that man.
Screw that guy. He has basically stolen all my thunder. So just go read BoddyNodge.com.
Yeah.
And, you know, see what he says about the coaching. Because all my questions to you are basically he has written them down. But I want to know. I had these ideas first and then I saw his article. So the
idea is mine. I believe you wouldn't lie. I don't think you've done a many great... horrible thing, but you wouldn't lie.
Yeah, and just when I thought me and Boddy were sort of friendly, he does this to me.
Oh, yeah. What did Boddy say? Sorry. And what did you think? And then what did Boddy write? I'll put it.
No. You can read his article. This is not about him. This is about me now. I'm asking the questions.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So, first of all, to use head coach conversation. Should Scott Ninnis be extended?
The Brian Gordon rumours are completely false because he's going to sign in Sydney. We all know that. So, therefore, there's not really a candidate. I'd say yes, the resume's good. Build some consistency in Adelaide for X. Like, you've had teams that just change. Connor Henry, CJ. Get an Adelaide guy who's Adelaide first. I say yes.
And you notice that Vasiljevic has come out actually and said that he likes Ninnis and things are going well. So, that's interesting. You get the three-year guy.
They're winning games and they play well.
Yep.
Full stop. Yep.
So, okay, and then my follow-up question, should Modi Mayor be dumped?
No.
Is it? Okay. No.
No, he's a good coach. They should have a much... He is the best recruiting head coach. We've seen Brantley, Lamb, Pardon, Parker Jackson Cartwright. This guy gets good players. No, I think with him, the problem... Not so much with him, but with the problem with that team is more their ownership structure and, you know... Matt Walsh was a fixture on the sidelines a couple of years ago. Now he's, I don't know, off playing pickleball or something like that. I think he's diversifying not only his funds, but his interests as well.
Okay. So you think he should stay around in New Zealand?
100%. Yeah, really good coach.
Okay, and now?
Great recruiter, great coach.
Should Abdul Fattah be dumped?
No. Yeah. Yes, sorry. I thought you were going to say, should he be kept around? No, he needs to go immediately. I think if it was any earlier in the season... They would have done it already. The DP come off the court and pushing the players. God knows how it got pushing the coach. Pardon me. How they dealt with that internally would be probably pretty interesting. I think it was actually just a. Actually, I'll ask you. I think it was sort of a heat of the moment push. Whatever. We've finally won a game. Or did you see more into it where there's no respect for the staff? There's definitely no respect for the staff, but I didn't think it went that far. What do you think?
The push, yeah, the 0.9 seconds remaining, you mean?
Yeah.
So
of the assistant coach. The assistant DP.
So I think it was out of order. And the guys come out and said, oh, it's just like, it was in the moment, didn't realize somebody.
You're always going to say that.
It's like, that's bollocks. You've got enough spatial awareness to know what's going on. That coach did nothing wrong. He did the right thing. Because you don't invade the court before the game's finished. And he just reacted just like a little petulant child. And I just feel like that's the makeup of that team. They're all pissed off. None of them are really happy.
You can tell Adams is not happy about. Adams signed with this team thinking it was going to be Buford. Surely they are a bit of a package deal. I want to say they worked with each other at Sydney, obviously, and before that in Milwaukee somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think he's seen this coach, and Adams is having a good. He's statting well when he applies for European jobs. The stats will look great. There will be no issue, but he has not had the spirited season he had under Buford. I mean, he missed games, but he was excited. He had that dunk on Patterson to win it. He was an exciting electric player. Now he's just get my stats. Hopefully, I don't want to see this coach. He's not playing me. Like Cotton's getting 30 some minutes a game. Adams gets high 20s at most. He's fed up, you can tell. And I think it's spewed all the way down to the DP. So I think that push was 60% disobedience. Mm-hmm. 60%, I don't care about the coach. 40%, we're coming back. It's not even my head coach. 40% sort of spur of the moment. So that's how I'd break it down, okay. I think. Yeah, you're right.
I can't believe we've got to a point in this podcast where we're saying, Coach Chet, please come back.
We won two chips. He won two in a row. He was good. Chet with the chip. Chip Chet. And he's not working anywhere. He's just taking a year out.
Oh.
Taking the family jet to Aspen, last I saw.
Come on, Chet.
Guy's living a life.
Jeez, come back. We love
come
you.
Come back to Auburn. But leave Aspen for the next guy. Come back to Auburn Basketball Center, just off the freeway there. That's where the party's really at.
So one of the things that Boddy was saying in his article, he's saying that Ninnis is now being courted by other teams, and Adelaide aren't really wanting to sign him because they're still doing the Gorgian, Gleeson.
They want, like they've done in the past, they want the sexy hire.
But then they also, he was also suggesting they might be looking at Modi.
Because
he's out of contract.
Modi's out of contract. I mean, the thing is, Modi would probably take the security. I think he's just a coach from, you know, his collar to his socks. But he'd be a good get for Adelaide. I think he'd be a good get for anyone. I mean, the Breakers are an issue where, Boddy wrote the article about their financial woes. That wasn't just ink on paper. There's a lot to that, for sure. So,
and he was also saying, so now I'm just riffing off his point. He was saying that there's two clubs potentially interested in Scott Ninnis. Now, he didn't mention what clubs they could be. So let's see if we can spelunk on this and figure out where Scott Ninnis might end up. I've got one obvious candidate.
I mean, bottom team, Southeast Melbourne might kick the tyres.
That's the obvious one that I picked too.
Well, it's not going to be Perth. It's not going to be Tasmania, obviously. I mean, Sydney have got an opening, but they are just salivating over Brian Gorgian. Gorgian is in his mid-70s. He's not going to want to go to Adelaide. He's going to want to go to Sydney, where he's from. There's family. It's the perfect retirement spot. He's on the beach. Come on, let's grow up.
Yeah.
So then who are the other teams? Illawarra, Tatum's, they're doing a bit of a sort of will they, won't they, the Hawks and Tatum. So not him, if they could get... Cairns are not, no, they're happy with Adam Ford, I would have thought. Brisbane should be pretty happy. Who's the other candidate?
You've just worked through it, and the only one I can come up with is New Zealand.
Yeah, they did a swap, maybe.
They do a swap.
I mean, it's all about pay. I think with New Zealand, it's like, well, who can we get on the cheap? Because the money's a bit strapped. So maybe there is some room, some truth to that. But I think a lot of teams would be looking at Ninnis. But we'll see. Also, it depends what's Gleeson going to do after that another NBA season comes to a close.
He's still on the staff at the moment, isn't he?
Still there. Yeah, he's still there.
Even though his mate got given the,
The NBA's not going to... The NBA's a very fashionable higher league. It's a very closed circuit. They're not going to give Trevor Gleason a shot. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have thought so.
I just thought, they might just get rid of him altogether because he was only there by virtue of his buddy. Doc Rivers. You never know. Maybe Trevor Gleason will become mates with Doc Rivers.
Mm.
And who knows where that leads. Jeez.
Doctor-patient relationship. Move on. What's the next thing?
Last question for you.
This is the last thing, full stop. What are we at? 33 minutes.
Yeah, doing all right. So,
doing very good.
I want to ask you, Joe Corr, which team of the teams we have, which one do you most enjoy watching at the moment? If you just got to watch a game on TV, which team are you most enjoy? Silence is deafening.
Yeah, it is deafening. Because I can see your answer and I don't want to give the same. Because the answers aren't the same. Honest, this is going to sound strange. It's actually New Zealand, only because I really like to watch Anthony Lamb play.
Mm.
There are three guys in the league who I like to watch, especially this season. Bryce Cotton, obviously.
Yep.
Anthony Lamb. And went before the struggles, Milton Doyle.
Yep.
But Doyle's struggling. But Lamb, to me, is the silkiest player in the league, more so than Cotton. Cotton's more incisive. Jagged, high jump, lean into the guy, ragdoll, does a bit of that.
Yeah.
Anthony Lamb is just that legit grease and silk into a game, could put up 20, 30, had a couple of bad games of late, but that's my answer. New Zealand and Anthony Lamb.
Yeah, good answer. So,
you?
So I went with Perth because they're kind of a dynamic team. They've got Bryce Cotton. It's always a good watch. Ty Webster is always fun to watch as well because you never quite know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And then secondly, Adelaide.
Yeah, they're fun. They're tough.
I find them compelling because it's a really... And it's so weird because both Perth and Adelaide were the teams that I considered to be basically unwatchable at the beginning of the season. Perth were a defensive turnstile and were just gone through the motions and Cotton was terrible. And Adelaide were a basket case.
Or worse.
And just had nothing at either end of the court.
Isn't it weird? I mean, we spoke so poorly of Grant Kelly and CJ Bruton, but the fact that they've turned the season around, I mean, I actually think, you know, is Scott Ninnis weaving magic a little bit, but I also think like that team was so bad. It was almost like a trampoline. The springs were depressed so bad that they were always going to spring back up and have some sort of recoil.
Yep.
But it's funny, like, I mean, I thought Mitch McCarron was a good player. They're playing him 10 minutes a game. They look great without him. All that Jason Kidd, I was never very high on him to begin with, but, you know, Sunday Dech, they kind of thrown to the bench. It's weird that, like, there was a winning team in this roster. I mean, we hated this roster
at the start
of the year. We hated it. I mean, that's when they had that other import, he got cut and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But I did not see them. I thought they were going to be nailed to the bottom of the ladder, and they've come back.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And then on the flip side, I've really enjoyed watching Melbourne at the beginning of the year. And now I find them kind of distasteful and clunky. Yep. Yeah. It's funny how it's turned around. I guess.
I agree. They're the teams to watch, people. Get at us on Twitter. If you want to get Canyon to reply on Twitter, you have to say something explosive.
Highly offensive, yeah.
Highly offensive. The worst part is, highly offensive is one thing, but then when it's masked under a joke, that it's like bad magic. It's like bad humor. Nothing angers a person more than an unfunny comedy. You can deal with just a straight up horror gore fest. You're like, that has no taste.
Yeah.
You know, but you can deal with it. But it's when it's like someone trying to make you laugh and failing, you just want to punch them in the face. So that's how you get Canyon on Twitter. Can I also just quickly say, this is the last topic. I know I said last. We're going to come in under 40 minutes, I swear. Perth, team to beat, or is it Melbourne? Or have we, did I already say this?
I think we already said this, mate.
Oh. Well, shit.
I don't think you did.
Because I've got my stat that three of the last five MVPs have also been NBL champions, and I haven't had the chance to say that yet.
Okay.
Because obviously it was Cooks, it was Adams, and then the Cottons, and then it's kind of broken up by when Cotton won it and got hurt in the finals, lost to Melbourne, and then also in recent memory when Bogut won it because Cotton's hand was hurt.
Yes,
So it really should be four of the last five MVPs have won the chip.
Yeah.
Because Cotton definitely should have won that year. But Perth team to beat or Melbourne?
Whew, I think despite everything that I've said in this podcast, I still think it's Melbourne's to lose.
I concur.
But Perth, on their day, could do it. But could they do it over three games? Could they win three games?
This is the thing, right? This is my thing. I think Melbourne are so regimented and Vickerman so grounded. Really crazy. Getting into presses, taking shots. You know, he's got that voice. You know, Cotton's not getting the calls. He's almost like a South African terrorist.
And then he's on the sidelines. Hey!
He's going mental. Whereas Vickerman does that too, but there's far more. How do I put it? Really is like that one henchman that can't be controlled. And Vickerman's like the mob boss. He's got the glasses, silver hair. There's still energy behind his words, but not a recklessness that really he's got. The other thing I'll say is this. Melbourne's rotation, I feel really confident in. Perth's really is getting plucky and strange. He was still throw shit around, and I'm seeing a lot of Corey Webster minutes.
The defense.
What's going on there?
You talk about the Wildcats defense. I was getting flashbacks when Webster came back in, and
I was like, "What are you doing, really? Yeah. What did we not learn about this?" And I just think he's reckless in that way. He's like, "No, me and this guy, we love our offense. I can trust him." It's like, no, DNPs is best. Corey Webster's got a place. It's just not off that Wildcat bench stealing shots from Bryce Cotton. I'm just not here for it at all.
Yeah.
And as a result, his minutes have gone up and the Perth have dropped a couple. But, sorry, what was your answer again? I've completely forgot.
I said Melbourne is still the one to beat five-game series. They've just got too many different looks that they can throw at a team. They got both those centres.
And way too big. Like when JLA has a big game, who's going to guard that guy for Perth? And again, you're rolling your dice with, as I said, we said Corey Webster, but also Jordan Usher. Good player, had some good runs. Do we trust him to follow a scout for five straight games and not take those crazy shots he's accustomed to? It's a bigger leap of faith than the regimented Melbourne. So yeah. I still think it's 1-1. All right, Kenyon. Well, fuck. We're out of here, I think.
By golly gosh.
39 minutes. That's fun. Good length of time.
We're out of here.
Got a last word? Or
no, I was about to ask you, Joe. Actually, yes. Joe's Court, what's your last word?
Follow us on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod, at Andrew Kenyon. Follow us on Toot or Master Toot or whatever the hell it's called. And, there's something I want to talk about. Oh, no.
What is it?
Well, there was a really good article. Oh, sorry, everyone. There was a really, and Kenyon, I know you've got to get going. There was a thing by a guy by the name of Oliver Trenchard on LinkedIn. He works for a company called Engage Digital Partners. He put out a little, you know, those tweet kind of things that people put out, like, hey, listen to this story in sport. Isn't this interesting? Anyway, it was about the growth of the NBL on Instagram in particular, and I think exclusively, but no domestic competition has gained more followers in the last 18 months than the NBL. Did you see this? I didn't see it. So no domestic competition in Australia, pardon me, has gained more followers on Instagram than the NBL. To me, personally, that's a huge achievement, I think.
Yeah. It's providing they're not just buying a bot farm.
Yeah, well, I'm going in with the best expectation that they're not. I think, you know, they're probably not. They might be.
But I doubt it. That's a really good achievement.
It's worth bringing up, but yeah, keen distinction. I hope they're not. But he just talked about what their strategy is and how they've done it. So this conversation is partly tip of the cap to the NBL social team, but it also kind of like it just shows you how sports are trending towards vertical broadcast, as in on mobile. And cannot wait to look at what the NBL does with its TV rights after this ESPN deal.
That'd be fascinating.
It is going, and News Corp, KO, whatever you want to call it, that whole thing is going to be fascinating. Now that Netflix has shown a willingness to get into live sport, will it kind of take on a low-hanging fruit in the NBL? And that's just streaming services in general. It will be fascinating because I think the NBA, the ESPN and those sort of things, they're empty carbs because they give you some money for your rights, but then you don't grow your sport.
No.
And because it's behind a paywall that's really expensive on Foxtel and a really redundant old paywall.
Yep.
And then the adjoining content is not like your drive to survive, amazing stuff. The content the NBL itself puts out is immeasurably better than the other parts of that deal. Immeasurably. The stuff those guys do video-wise is fantastic. I've spoken too much. I just want to plant that seed in people's head. Let's get the heck out of here, Kenyon. What do you say?
I say viewership reach. That's what it's all about.
That's fun. We'll talk about something funny there. Thanks very much, everyone. Become a patron. Give us some money. We'd like the money. Thanks very much. Bye.